Hey, good morning, everybody. It is, I was going to say Wednesday. No, it's not Wednesday.
I don't know. I've lost all days.
It's Thursday. Lori and I are usually with you on Wednesdays, but this week it's Thursday. Good morning.
Good morning.
And wow, we were apart for quite a bit there. I was in Colorado for a week, and it was such a long week without Lori being there with me. But it was a good thing because I guess it was a good thing because instead of being with me, she was in North Carolina, taking care of Allison and our new grandbaby, Wilder Charles Johnson. What a precious little baby boy he is. And so she got to spend the first full week with Allison. Just enjoying the new grandbaby and helping out in every way she can. And I guess you were quite a blessing.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, don't you? Aren't you fonder of me now?
Much fonder of
See?
You.
See?
Much fonder of you. Much fonder of you. I
wouldn't recommend it, but...
After, what is it, July? It's July 6th right now?
I don't know.
July 6th
I've lost
right
all
now?
Days.
Thursday, July 6th. So in... 8 days, we will be married 39 years. 39 years, July 14th. And I mean, you know, after 39 years, you get, the two become one. And when the one is missing, the other one really, you understand that the two become one. And I'm glad we're back together now. So it's awesome. And we want to let you know how much we love you. And how much we appreciate you. And we mean that from the bottom of our hearts. Today, as I logged on, I was looking at some comments that some of you put up there from yesterday's broadcast. And they mean so much to me. They mean so very much to me. I know there's a lot of you that listen and watch and oftentimes you don't comment, but we want you to. Because we want to know that the message is being received and that you're being blessed. And this one particular person, AL, it's her initials, she just blessed me with her comment, She just, on how she appreciates the message, and this message of grace is truly, through the Holy Spirit, brought her to a place of complete freedom. And that's this too good to be true gospel of Christ is exactly what it is. Too good to be true. You know what they say, if it's too good to be true, now that's too good to be true, well then that's the gospel. And the too good to be true gospel is, it's not about you or I, what we have to do or what we need to do. The too good to be true gospel is all about what Jesus did, and we qualify, period. And so, we love you. We appreciate you. I mean that from the bottom of our hearts. And I told you about an exciting announcement, so I'll give you a little bit of it. You know, it's been about, it says, 45,000 downloads of our podcasts.
Wow.
And it's not going to stop. We're not going to stop our dailies, our dailies, that information. We're not going to stop our Sunday broadcast. And we're on Roku, and I still don't know who watches me on Roku, but I know there's a bunch of people that watch. But starting July 25th, it's going to be our first Tuesday night broadcast. And then the second and fourth Tuesday of each month, we are going to be doing a Zoom invite only. And it's going to be live, and we are going to do some wonderfully led by the Holy Spirit teachings on how to understand the Bible, teachings on the covenants, what has been fulfilled, when they were in operation. We're going to be talking about our true, in detail, new creation realities. We're going to be talking about true holiness and true righteousness. We're going to be talking about where the healing power comes from. Okay. We're going to be talking about so many, how to understand the Bible. And the Bible is inspired. It really is. But the way that man put the Bible together, it makes it hard to understand. It really does. And we're going to clarify it. We're going to clarify it all. You know, for instance, the book of Job. The book of Job, you know, should come right after Genesis chapter 3. Then Job should be there. But our Bibles chronologically have Job in the middle section of the Old Testament. Okay? You know, and the Psalms, there's some Psalms of Moses, there's some Psalms of David, there's some Psalms that come after, you know, David and Moses, and they're in different times and they're in different seasons. And the Bible is a progressive revelation of God. But when you have books out of order, you know, like they put the poetry books together and they put the historical books together, but that's not how it unfolded. And so you don't have an understanding of the timelines, of the chronological orders of how things really progressed. You're not going to really have that true understanding of God and the nature of God and the fullness of God. You know, Nehemiah and Ezra, they should be the last two books before the New Testament, but they're not. They're smack in the middle of the Old Testament. And so, you know, everything becomes out of order. It's much easier to understand when you know the progressiveness of the Word of God and the true order of how things, you know, were meant to be laid out. So we're going to be exploring so many things. It's going to be like going to Bible school. It really is. And it's going to bless you. And after every teaching, you know, every Zoom teaching, which is going to be live hour and a half, there's going to be a question and answer time on that night's lesson. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be interactive. It's going to be by invite only. So if you want to be part of that, you have to let Pastor Lenny know. You let Pastor Lenny know and we'll let you know how you can become a part of that. And I'm just so looking forward to that. I'm so, you know, on these dailies, I can only like just touch little snippets. But this is going to be like steak. This is going to be like steak and lobster.
Wow.
Dripping with butter. Tender steak that you can easily chew and digest. It's going to be awesome. So anyway, we're looking forward to that. And again, easily you want to be part of that, you let us know. So why don't you let everybody know what you've been doing the last week?
With a baby.
Come on.
With a baby and come a daughter. On. And it was wonderful. And I tell you, when you have a... When you're, you know, around a newborn baby, that's again when you realize how awesome God is. I mean, yep. The, you know, the fingers, toes,
amen.
It's breathing, the eyes, and just, I'm just in awe of God and His
that's
presence.
That's what I was doing the other day, you know. I took His hand and His fingers, and I made Him grab my finger, and I was just looking at His little hands, you know, and then from there, I was touching His little toes, and to think, He came a little bit early.
He did, a week.
He came a little bit early, a week early. So, but just think, fully developed in my daughter's womb. And there are some evil people in this world, who as long as it's in the womb, it's not a life, it's not a child, it's not a baby, even though it's fully developed. It has a mind, it has a brain, it has a heart.
Feelings.
It has feelings, emotions, it has a heartbeat. And it could be killed. How idiotic. What ignoramuses. Is that a word? Ignoramuses?
It is now.
People are. But it makes sense because they don't believe in God. So they have no moral code to go by. And if you call yourself a Christian, and you believe in that, something is definitely wrong. So anyway, but that's all I want to talk about. Anyway, we shouldn't be, we'll be, we can do sessions on that. But anyway, yesterday. Lori said, oh man, that was really good yesterday. So I said, Lori, what should I talk about today? She said, well, why don't you just piggyback on what you shared yesterday? So I said, well, what did you get out of yesterday? What did I? And she just says, oh, righteous, because she knows it's always got to be. But
I was listening, but I was also doing a lot with baby and house and whatnot. I know I was feeling really good when it was over. Yes. I was saying amen a lot.
Basically, yesterday, what we really talked about was we answered the question that so many ask, you know, do you believe in once saved, always saved? And we took them through the scriptures and showed them the security of our salvation. The security of our salvation. And if you haven't heard it, the podcast is out. Listen to the podcast because it's good. It'll bless you. I guarantee it'll bless you. Yep. Or go back, scroll on Facebook, and listen to it. It will answer that question forever. Period. We used to grow up with, well, and it sounded so good, but it wasn't theologically based. And so much is of what we hear from the pulpits. This is why next month's launching of this new, you know, intense, led by the Holy Spirit, is teaching is just going to be so vitally important. Because so much of what we get is from denominations. So much of what we get is from denominational seminaries, and so much of what we get is from scriptures, is taken out of context, you know. And I was always taught, if you take a scripture out of context, you're left with a con, you know. And it's so many things that are untrue, and they become truths to us, and we become confused. And so we have questions like, once saved, always, is it once saved, always saved? Can you lose your salvation or whatever? And we used to hear things like, well, they didn't have to answer it, so they say, but you can't be kidnapped, right? Remember this one? You can't be kidnapped, but you can run away from home.
Right.
Whatever. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my Lord. My Lord.
I just
read
in John where you can't be snatched. You can't be snatched. I don't think you can.
Oh, you can't be snatched and you can't run. I mean, no. Don't even get. No. You are eternally secure. And we talked about that. You need to go back and listen to the notes. And then after I was thinking about it, I was talking about, you know, the Gospel of Luke. And it's amazing that Luke chapter 15 is Jesus's most amazing parable. Most amazing. And it's on the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. It is such an awesome and wonderful picture of the gospel of grace. I just can't understand why it's not in Mark, you know, Matthew, or John. Especially John, because, you know, he had a revelation of grace, but not Matthew and Mark, but it's in Luke. And I have to think that the reason why it's in Luke is because you don't understand it, but we're going to go through the whole Bible, and we're going to go through Luke, and we're going to show you how amazingly attached to grace the Gospel of Luke is. And you have to wonder, well, how and why? Of course, it's the Holy Spirit, but also he was a companion of Paul. You know, I'm not ashamed of this gospel of grace. So he knew, and he knows, and he meant to be accurate. And he says it in his beginning, totally accurate. And here it is, he's accurate in the portrayal of grace in that chapter 15. And it's an amazing chapter. And here it is. Here is the, what do you want to say? Because people don't understand the progression of the Bible, they don't teach it properly, they don't understand the covenants, and they go into the Word of God, they don't know really what applies to them, they don't know what really applies to us, they don't know, I mean, you know, they just take it as one whole. They'll come up with, is stupid a bad word? Should I say stupid?
guess it's okay.
Well, was there a better word than stupid? How about idiotic? Can I say idiotic?
Yes.
How about, I can say idiotic, how about untrue, untruths? Can I say?
It's all three.
You get the idea, okay? And I grew up with this, you know? We want to believe that we're God's children. And because God's children, he's going to chasten and chastise us. Right? Because he doesn't want us to go astray. And so when it comes to the good shepherd, that lost sheep, I don't know if you remember this, those of you that are watching, I don't know, Laura, if you remember this, but we heard these stories about the shepherd who loves his sheep. And if he had a sheep, a lot of sheep is sheep and one sheep is sheep, right? Or if he had a lamb, we'll say lamb or sheep, that went astray, right? Mm-hmm. He would find that sheep.
Yep.
Find that lamb and break its legs.
Ooh.
You never heard this? You heard it.
I flushed it.
And then he would take that sheep, you flushed it. That's a great idea. So flush this. This is religion. He would take that sheep and put it over his shoulders with its broken legs and carry that sheep until his legs healed. Knowing that as he did that, there would be such a bond so that sheep would never run away again. So here, you know, God will break us and chastise us to build a bond? No. You know, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, he says it's the loving kindness, it's the goodness of God that leads man to a changing in direction. It's his goodness, for God so loved.
And he sees us righteous.
Yeah. But that's an example of how religion just screws that completely up. So as I was thinking about, you know, the real love of God, and as we were talking about, you know, we are eternally saved and forever. I was thinking about, you know, that passage from Luke, and I was thinking about the lost son. Think about it. He was arrogant. He was defiant. He was selfish. He was disrespectful. And what did the father do?
Gave him all the money. And you mean when he came back?
The father answered his request. The father answered his request for his inheritance.
Yes.
And he left. Mm-hmm. All right? He joined himself to another citizen. That means he left. He really left. He was gone. Squandered everything. Lived with the pigs. Okay? Was with the pigs. Eating with pigs were eating. And he came to his senses? No. He didn't come to his senses that he had, you know, sinned against his God, his father, sinned against his father, was totally disrespectful. No, he came to his senses. I'm hungry and I need food. I'm going to go back and plead and just become a servant. And so he rehearsed what he was going to say. He rehearsed. And that indicates it wasn't a heartfelt turning. It was, you know, that child that comes back, he needs mom and dad again because put himself in a mess. And mom and dad help him out. And then what happens? He gets in another mess and he comes back again and mom and dad help him out. Leaves, then he leaves. And what did he come back for? He came back for because he was in a mess and he just needed a way out. You know. And it said the father had his eye on him. And the father ran to him. And that word run indicates like a sprinter. The gun goes off. Boom, 100-yard dash, and they take off. That's how fast the father ran. And before I am so glad. So people will say, well, he came to his senses. Oh, well, he was before he could finish saying all he wanted to say. And I am so glad that that happened. It's like God the Father says, stop. Stop. You don't have to keep on going. You don't have to keep on confessing. You don't have to do this. This is the new covenant of grace where it says, your sins and iniquities I remember no more. Stop. Stop coming to the altar. Oh, search in your heart. See if they're creating me a clean heart. Oh, my God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not. That's a beautiful, beautiful song, Psalm 51, that David wrote, that David sang, right? That we used to always sing. Mm-hmm. But David was not born again. He was not born anew. He was not a new creation. So that's a great song and a great hymn for someone who is not born again, who is not a new creation, who has not been birthed with true holiness and true righteousness. So that's why God's stopped him. This is who you are. Stop. Stopped him. This is who you are. You have authority. This is who you are. You are royalty. This is who you are. You are righteous. This is who you are. You are my son. Get the sandals, get the robe, get the ring. Now, this is powerful. He never was not a son. Once you are a son, once you are born into the Father's household, do you understand this? This is grace. Once you are born into the Father's household, oh, to as many as receive Jesus, to them the Father gave the right, the authority, the privilege to be his son. To as many as believed in his name, Jesus' name, who were born not of man, nor of the will of man, nor of the blood, but who were born from above. Once you are born of the Father, you are his son, period. Even if you're living with the pigs, even if you're eating slop, even if you're as far away, right, from kingdom believing and kingdom thinking, you are always a son. Amen. And that's what Jesus teaches to born again, the gospel of grace. And in that same portion of scripture is that son who, wait a second, look what you're doing for this guy. Look, he defamed the family's name. He squandered his inheritance. He ran amok with his life, you know? And me, I have served you, right? And he was defiant and he was disrespectful.
That's true.
And you didn't throw me a party. Right?
Right.
And I obeyed every command. And what did he say? Son, you're getting everything all wrong. You're getting everything all wrong. All that I have is yours because you're my son. The son who ran away and ran amok. The son who stayed and thought he earned everything. Jesus takes care of both issues, both sides, and says, no. Everything I have is yours, will always be yours, is forever yours. And guess what? The inheritance can never run out. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you're my son.
I like that. Can't.
That's the true gospel. And you see, when you understand the true gospel, and you're like, wow, it's not about what I have done. It's not about what I need to do. It's not about what I can do. It's not about what I need to become. It's not about my works and my efforts. It's all about what Jesus has done, what Jesus has accomplished, what Jesus has made available by simply believing in him. Now, when you understand that, and the Holy Spirit gives you revelation of that, and you understand the love of the Father and the love of your of the Son, do you know what happens? This is what God knows. This is what God knows. Here in his love, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love. Herein is love. Not that you love God, but that God loves you. So when you grow in that revelation and that understanding of God's love for you, he knows. It's like a bouncy ball. You take that bouncy ball and you drop it. Just drop it from your hand. It will bounce so high off the ground. All right? So if you get a small revelation of God's love, it will mean a small revelation that causes you to reflex back to loving God. The ball bounces. Now, if you take that same ball and you forcefully throw it to the ground, I hope you're getting this picture, it will bounce higher. So God knows that the greater your understanding and the greater your revelation of his love for you, it will create an automatic reflex and rebounding of such a love back to God that there is no commandment that could equal that gaining in knowledge and knowing and revelation and understanding of his love. And when you grow in that reflex and that response, it causes you to want to say, thank you, Daddy God. It causes you to turn, the metanoia, the turning of direction. It causes you to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. It causes anything that has muddied your life and dirtied your life, that religion wants, you know, you to work, to just wash off and fall off. That's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So listen, wow, 28 minutes, we're done. But was it all right?
It was awesome.
You're blessed?
I'm blessed.
Yes. Always. Any last words?
How can you top that?
All right. Listen, we love you. Tomorrow, I have a special guest. He's a hero of mine. He's a living hero. And you're going to meet him tomorrow. Walk in your blessings. We'll see you on Friday.